It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
John chapter 12 begins with telling us that Jesus went back again now to Bethany where he had raised Lazarus. And it also tells us in verse 2 that Martha served as he was there, served the supper. But there was some other person there who was eating with them. And that person was Lazarus. He's the one who was alive. He's the one whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And we've read also verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. We read this the last time. She took an ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. How pleasing this would have been to God the Father that his son was being recognized as the Savior here. He was the one who was being upheld. He was the one who was being honored here. I remind you that Jesus came into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. I've said that many times. But Jesus also, we realize, he was one who would glorify the Father as he came. Now, I've said this before. When we glorify Jesus, we in turn are glorifying God the Father. We're glorifying Jesus because he is the Savior. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who saved those individuals. That's us who trust him as Lord and Savior. But when we honor him, God the Father, it's like a sweet odor coming up into his nostrils. It's a sweet flavor, a sweet smell to him when we honor his son. And I believe when a person gets saved, it's the same thing. When that person gets saved, it's like that ointment that Mary was using on Jesus' feet here. How did it fill the whole house? And I believe that God the Father is well pleased. When someone gets saved, I know he's well pleased because you're honoring him, you're honoring his son, and there's another person who's going to be with him forever in heaven. And that's us who know him as Lord and Savior. Well, the ointment was applied. What happened? Verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Now, this was not Simon Peter's son. This was another Simon. And we know who Judas Iscariot is and who he was. And we read about that later on, of course, what he did. But this was Simon's son, which should betray him. This is the one who would betray Jesus Christ. He said this in verse 5, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Well, why did he say something like that? Why didn't he just go ahead and say, well, this is good because our master is being honored here. And this is something that should be done, and it's very good. Well, why did he do this? Why did he make this remark about it could have been sold? And he was not pleased with what was going on here. Verse 6 tells us why. Then he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Now, he didn't say what he said because he wanted to help the poor with the money that was there. He was a thief. He was the one, shall we understand that he was the treasurer. He was the one who took care of the money of the group that was traveling around with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who had the purse strings. He was the one who was stealing from the bag. This would be the collection that the people who went around with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this would be how that they had their money there. They had what was necessary for them to live. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Judas Iscariot was mad. He wanted the money that this ointment should have been sold for. He wanted that money. He said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, hath she kept this? She's doing this in preparation for my burial, he's saying. Verse 8, for the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. we read in the scriptures where he told the disciples, I go away to prepare a place for you. He also said, As I go away, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But he always pointed to the fact that he would not be on this earth forever in the form that he was when he walked this earth back some 2,000 years ago before he was crucified, that he would go away, but the poor would always be here. Mary was honoring him by using this ointment, by doing this to Jesus' feet. Verse 9, much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now, Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and some of these people had seen this take place. Some of them had not, and some of them didn't believe. They wanted to see Lazarus alive. They knew he had died, but they had not seen him raised from the dead, but they wanted to see him alive, so they came out of curiosity. And some of the people who had seen him raised, they came to see if he was still alive, if he was there. And you know, this reminds me of when a person gets saved, that some people will look at that individual and they'll say something like, well, let's see how long he holds out, or let's see how long she holds out. Let's see how this takes place, how what they're going to do after a few days. Now, there's skeptics all around us, but it blesses my heart when I see a person who's been saved for many years, and they're still keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're still doing the things that Jesus Christ wants them to do. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be problems within our lives. That doesn't mean that we're not going to get weary in well-doing. That simply means that we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. But it does my heart good when I see a person who's kept the faith. In other words, they've kept on keeping on. They're still serving the Lord after many years. And these people who say, well, let's see how they hold out, how they're going to do. Well, it's Jesus who holds us out. We let him work in our lives. We're going to be pleasing to him. We're going to be pleasing to the Father. But just as these people came to see if Lazarus was still alive, and some came to see if it was true, that's the way people do a saved person these days. They'll say, I wonder if they're still saved. Well, I got news for you. If they got saved, they're still saved. They're going to be saved throughout all eternity because they've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It says that we have eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, John 3:16 says that when we get saved, we have everlasting life. Man, that word everlasting means forever. I don't need someone to tell me that because I know what it means. It means forever and ever and ever and ever, never ending, forever, eternally. Verse 10 of John chapter 12 goes on to say, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Well, Jesus was the one who performed the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to get rid of him because Caiaphas had told them the way to solve the problem that the scribes and Pharisees had of they believed that Jesus was there to take over, and had, if they did not do something, that he would take over as a religious leader. So Caiaphas said, all you got to do is kill him. Well, now they wanted to get rid of the one whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Why? Because he was the proof of the miracle. He was the proof. He was the one who had been raised from the dead. But now, not only did they want to kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Lazarus as well. Get rid of the evidence, in other words. It says they wanted to do this in verse 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now they're saying that it's because of Lazarus that many people believed on Jesus Christ. And once again, that's the same as a person today who is saved, and their testimony is such that people look at them, and some are skeptical, and others look at them and they say, well, I want what they have. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior so that I can go to heaven, so that I can be like that person who I'm looking at. They, in other words, their testimony is such that people want what they have. They've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. They're on their way to heaven. They know it, and so do other people. They know that this person, something has happened in their life, and they want what they have. Verse 11 again says, because that by reason of him, reason of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on him, believed on Jesus Christ. They didn't believe on Lazarus to be saved. They believed on the one who had raised him from the dead. They believed on Jesus Christ. By the way, the Bible teaches us that people without Jesus Christ are walking around dead. They are dead in trespasses and sins because they have not trusted in Jesus Christ. And this is another likeness of Lazarus here. These people are dead, walking about. And the difference is that Lazarus was dead and he was in a tomb. Jesus said, come forth. And Lazarus came forth alive. Well, when Jesus speaks to the heart of an individual and that individual listens and they hear the voice of Jesus, they know that he wants to save them and that he can, then they get saved. And it's like loosing them from the dead as Jesus did Lazarus. Remember, back in chapter 11 of John, Jesus told Lazarus, come forth. And that's what Jesus does to the unsaved person today once they're ready to trust him. And then, once they do trust him, he says, come forth. They have been born again because they've trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Well, notice verse 12 now. As we move on, remember now, many believed on Jesus Christ. They wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to kill Lazarus. In verse 12, it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, these people, no doubt, they looked at Jesus Christ. And you see, these Pharisees, Caiaphas and the scribes and Pharisees and all the religious people, they had reason to fear because Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the one who was coming, not at this time. We know that as we study the Bible, that he was coming to be the king. He would be the king of the Jews. And we read about that through the scriptures, how that he would come one day and set up the millennial kingdom. He would rule this earth for 1,000 years as the king who sat on the throne in Jerusalem. He was the king, and he would be the king of the Jews. But everybody thought at this time that he would be the king right then. But just as it was not time for him to be crucified, it was not time for him to be the king of the people. It was not time for him to be the king of the earth here. Now notice verse 13, these people who had heard about Jesus and he was coming into Jerusalem, they took branches of palm leaves and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Isn't this something? That some of these same people who were crying out and saying, blessed be the King of the Lord and all this, these same people, some of these same people would be crying, crucify him, crucify him. And of course, he would be crucified at the proper time. But these same people who were looking up to him as he came into Jerusalem, they're throwing palm leaves in front of him. Some of these same people would want him to be put to death. And that's hard to understand, but the Bible is plain. The Bible tells us that there were those people who did not believe in him, and they thought that he was coming right then physically. And since he did not come physically to set up his kingdom at that time, they would not believe. Trust the Lord as your Savior. And if you are saved, you need to be following him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.